debt. You got to go to bed thinking about it. You wake up thinking about it. Here's the truth. The system traps you in debt. High interest credit cards and loans make it nearly impossible to pay off your debt. And don't forget insane inflation. That keeps you stuck paycheck to paycheck. Done with debt is your lifeline. Done with debt has an ingenious new strategy to help you erase your debt faster and easier than you ever thought was possible. Done with debt analyzes all the debt options you qualify for. They know how to reduce your bills. They know how to get interest rates cut. Their skilled staff of negotiators know how to get the debt out of your life permanently, without bankruptcy and without a loan. Done with debt are the experts in brilliant strategies for eliminating debt. But you need to hurry because some debt solutions are time sensitive. So here's how easy they make it. Go to donewithdebt.com. That's donewithdebt.com. Again, donewithdebt.com. Support for the Bubba Army Podcast is brought to you by our friends at Manscaped, the leaders in male grooming. Their fourth generation performance package absolutely changed the grooming game, along with their refined body wash to round out your hygiene routine. Join the nearly 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped for their shower time routine by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with the code Bubba. Have you smelled Manscaped's refined body wash, fellas? The ladies love their signature scent. You and your boys will be so fresh and so clean when you start off your self-care routine with the Ultimate Body Wash. Keep the grooming game going with the Performance Package 4.0, and inside this package, you'll find the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, weed whacker and nose trimmer, crop preserver and ball deodorant, crop reviver toner, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold all the goodies. The Performance Package 4.0 also includes the weed whacker to chop your worst weeds up the top of your nose and ears. Nothing's worse than that nose hair. Again, get 20% off and free shipping with code Bubba at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code Bubba at manscaped.com. Keep your balls trimmed, fresh, and clean with Manscaped.
You're on mic 4. All right? Can't hear you.
Yes.
Oh, now I can. Beautiful. Hello, welcome to Off the Rails with Blummel, with my spouse.
Spouse.
My fucking spouse. That's a disgusting term that we've now decided to turn. It's like the N-word, you know? It's like it's our own. We've owned it, and only we can say it.
Right.
But it's disgusting when other people say it. I don't approve of it at all.
Oh, it's disgusting when we say it too, but we say it knowing it's disgusting as a joke.
Yeah, because there's nothing like less sexy than spouse. Like girlfriend and boyfriend is fun. Like that's a fun place to be. Wife, husband, not so much, but whatever. But spouse is like, ew.
Right.
Gross. Not fun. So welcome to the show. It is Friday. This was the longest fucking week of my life. I don't understand.
It really was.
Isn't it weird that some weeks feel longer than others and why that even may be the case? Because that is strange because every week seems to be, my weeks are a little bit different and so are yours, but I feel like coming into Monday, maybe when Monday is rough, it's going to be a long fucking week.
Yeah.
You don't get enough sleep on Monday, it throws you off and the rest of the week is shit. Do you not have a camera on you?
I'm setting it up right now.
Okay, no problem. I'm just wondering.
Yep.
We got a Bubba 199 tonight. I think there will be some meat parts for consumption, which some people like the meat parts. You like meat parts. Not all meat parts. Not meat parts from the sea.
Love meat parts.
Mm-hmm. He does. He likes the chicken. He likes fried chicken. He likes the stuff. He likes the chicken tenders, but he does like to complain about them even more than he likes to eat them, seems. You like to complain about the foods sometimes.
Yeah.
And we actually had this conversation not too long ago where I think I told you that your standards are very high.
Yes, they are.
At all times when it comes to most things, but food and specifically
no question.
That you're like, not so great. It was okay. It could have been better. It could have been this. But then you'll have something totally random. Like a dried strawberry with sugar on it, and you're like, fuck, this is good.
Yeah, I said they were good, but I think I ate two of them.
Well, I think that's also because you looked at the calorie content, and you went, holy shit.
Well, I don't like sugary foods.
You know, you keep saying that, but your actions really speak otherwise, my friend. They really do. It seems like sugar is, you like the sugar. You crave the sugar.
No.
The ice cream?
No.
The chocolate, the Reese's?
No.
The ice cream?
The
ice cream? Is that now ringing a bell?
No.
Maybe not the ice cream, but the ice cream. Is that now ringing a bell that you like so much?
Mm-mm.
He claims he doesn't like, he goes, I don't like milkshakes, and then stops at Wendy's for a Frosty. And I go, huh? He goes, this is a Frosty. It's not a milkshake. And I go,
That was the only time I've ever in my life gotten a Wendy's Strawberry Frosty.
Okay, emphasis on strawberry, which means you've had other Frosties before, right? Chocolate.
It's been a few years.
Okay.
But yes.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And we like the ice creams and we like the cookies. He likes the Brookies. I think that might be your favorite.
Nope. I'm actually not a huge fan of the Brookie.
You're not a huge fan of the Brookie.
No, it was good when we had it, but I'm not a fan.
Not a fan. Are you saying that seriously or?
The cookie part. Uh-huh. Yes. I like the brownie part. I like the cookie part. Together, it wasn't a good mix.
Okay, maybe Publix just didn't do it right. Maybe it could be a good mix.
Correct.
Okay, but Publix just didn't pull it off.
Right, because I'm picky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's picky. He's a picky boy.
Dan. Publix does have very good chicken tenders.
Yes, but I feel like here's the thing about Publix, and I don't talk shit about that chain much, but I will say this. If you are planning on getting any sort of like hot food or sandwich or salad or something like that, it's going to take a long fucking time.
Oh, my God. Sometimes.
And it's not just we've had a few situations where it took a while. Every time I've ever been, if there's even just one person in line in front of you, it's at minimum 20, 25 minutes. Because it's always like again, not trying to talk shit. It's the least capable people in the entire building.
And you'd think it'd be the other way around because like they actually have to build stuff.
Right. They have to construct things.
Yeah, like live on the fly.
Right. And it seems like a lot of the ingredients aren't really behind the counter. It seems like the ingredients are in the store.
Yeah, they have to go get stuff.
And sometimes you need to be the gopher that goes and gets the things. Like, for example, I got a salad maybe about a month ago-ish, and Blitz was there.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman was very confused by the idea and the concept of an avocado, also known
guacamole.
As a guacamole.
Yes.
Also known as a guacamole on this show.
She cut it open and it was... rancid and was
well,
like,
hold on. Let me peel this back a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah.
First off, she was like avocado, and I feel like she was like racking her brain. She's like, that sounds really fucking familiar.
Yes.
I've definitely heard that term before.
Correct.
And I go, yeah, it says it literally in the description. I'm reading the menu, and it says, you know, XYZ blah blah, and an avocado. And I said, and it looked like she was closing the top of my salad as if to say, hold on. And I went, hold on. Half the reason why I'm getting this fucking salad is because of the avocado, a.k.a. guacamole.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like racking her brain. She she doesn't find an avocado. I go and get her one.
Well, no, she found one at first.
She found one at first. She cracks it open. It's black. She looks at me and she goes, is this...
She's like, is this okay?
Okay? I'm
like...
Now, I don't want to be difficult because I don't like to be a difficult customer.
Sure.
I've worked in customer service. I've worked in hospitality. I've worked with food. I've worked with patrons of that nature for, I'd say, 6 years at least. I bartended. I waitressed. I did all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest with you... And we can get into this a little bit later. I honestly think that it is important for every young person, at least once in their life, to kind of do that, to get a feel for what it's like to be in the service industry. A lot of people, you know, friends I've had growing up, it's just something that is a little bit missing. They're like, but why can't they bring it to me now?
Mm-hmm.
I go, friend, first off, they have to actually cook the food. I don't know if you knew that. And number two, see all these other people? There's other things going on in this world besides you.
You mean the ones that were here before you?
Oh. Huh?
The people in the restaurant that were here before you.
Right.
Yeah.
I have friends that don't understand this concept of, like, this service is terrible. And I'm like, is it like, let's look around and we see the waitress just fucking hauling ass, going back and forth, going crazy. They just don't get it. So when you work in the service industry for a while, you get it. And you can always tell that someone was a prior waitress or a bartender or something like that by the way that they stack the plates when they leave. Like for me, whenever I'm leaving a place and there's someone, you know, tending to us, I always like to stack the dishes up real fucking nice and make it real easy for them.
Sure.
Because, and it is so much nicer when you go to a table and you're like, oh, you just grab one thing. It's all put together. It's nice. Plus, I like consolidating. That's actually a pastime of mine. One of my favorite hobbies.
It really is.
To the point where, you know, Blitz has said, you know, please stop consolidating things because I don't know what the fuck is what. You said to me, "What you're like, can you stop?" And I go, "What? I'm just trying to create more space." You go, "When you take the labels off shit, I don't know what I'm eating." And yeah. I go, "Oh, sorry, my bad. I got a little carried away."
Yeah, they're called bananas.
Yes. Yeah, he didn't need any. He was like, "You're putting the tomatoes with bananas. I don't know what's what. I don't know what's going on." So yeah, so it's important to work in the service industry, I feel like, a little bit. So you can kind of understand what's going on. So back to this woman at the salad thing. So I understand what it's like when you are maybe new. I like to give people the benefit of the doubt. Maybe it's her first fucking day on planet Earth, and she's never heard or seen an avocado before. So she's like, is this one okay? And it's like black and shit.
Yeah,
and I'm
disgusting.
Like, and I'm like, well, you know. I don't know how deep this decay goes. Maybe it's just the surface. I go, maybe just a cut around it.
Yeah, you were nice about it.
Yeah, so she starts cutting around it. And then when she takes that first, like, scoop, I go, oh, this is going down to the skin. You know, this isn't just a surface level, you know, yippee-o. This is something that's deep.
It's gross all the way through.
It's gross all the way through. So I go, can I go get you a better one? And she goes, that would be lovely. Because I can only imagine she didn't look like a runner. Does that make sense?
Oh, no, she did not.
She didn't look like someone that would be like, let me just, I'll be right back. And then, like, you know, she does a little trot.
She wasn't, like, out of shape by any means. She just was not a runner.
She was not a runner. I could tell. Yeah. I could tell that she was not a runner. So I go, I am a runner. Let me go get a guacamole for you, bitch.
Because it's already been 45 minutes.
It's been 45 minutes because there was one person ahead of us. Yeah. And it's always bizarre because I always see about 2 to 3 people in the hot food area, sometimes more. And it just seems like 0.5 people are working. It seems like there's a negative correlation between how many people are behind the counter in the hot food section and how quickly you'll get your food. Typically, there's a positive correlation, right? The more people there are, the faster you get your food.
Publix used to be really good at, like, customer service and stuff, but lately, man, they've
kind of dropping the ball.
Oh, it's not been good.
But usually in the hot food section, it's the upside down world, so there's a negative correlation. So if you see 5 people behind the counter, expect to get your food, you know, in 30 to 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Usually the less people there are, the faster you get your food. It's counterintuitive, but it is a fact. So this woman is having problems with, you know, the guacamole caper, and she was also having issues with other. She's like, how many slices? How many? She's like, how do you want me to cut your cheese, lengthwise or vertical? I just cut the fucking, just throw it on there. Let's go. So anyways, I get the guacamole. It's a good one. She cuts it up. And she goes to me, how do I don't know if you heard her say it. She's like,
I walked away at that point.
How do I even cut a guacamole? She said, avocado. She's like, how do they cut it? And she just starts cutting it like she's cutting, like, finely thin cheese. I go, like, they were really thin slices, and she's trying to spread them out, and they're like, it's all getting fucked up.
You should have told her that Publix actually has a little tool that you put the half of it in, you squish it, and all the pieces come out.
For her to go and find that tool would have been another 45 minutes. So I go, you want it kind of chunky. Like, nobody wants, like, really thinly sliced avocado. No, you want a little bit of chunk.
Guacamole.
Yeah, without the cilantro and the onion. It's so she goes, oh, sorry. And then she starts making, like, big. I like mine, like, big. I like them wedged out.
Yeah.
Like potato wedges, but fucking avocado wedges.
Sure.
So we finally got that all together. Now, it was a delicious salad. I will say that. It was good, but it did take about, no joke, 35 minutes.
But at least she knew how to cut into thirds.
Yeah, at least she knew how to cut in the thirds.
Because the previous person, when I said, hey.
Was that that same time?
No, it was
a previous.
A couple weeks prior. I got a public sub, and I was like, you know, can I please have a cut in the thirds? Makes sense, you know, okay.
Yes.
They cut it directly in half, and they looked at it, real confused, and then cut one half into half. So I had a half and two quarters.
Well, yes, but also there were three parts. You didn't say evenly sliced thirds.
Right.
You did say thirds.
Yeah.
So they could have just crusted out and cut it in half, and that would have technically been a third. But, correct, maybe fractions was not this person's strong
suit
in school.
And I get it. Like, they're not always have to be, like, even pieces, but, like, at least make an attempt.
Yeah, this person, and I remember seeing this because I was very confused because I had heard the instructions clearly from Blitz. Blitz doesn't mince words. He's like, hey, can you cut it into thirds? One, two, three.
Yeah, would you mind to please, you know, I'm nice about it.
And it was met with a no problem, meaning they had heard the request.
Sure.
It wasn't like, hey, can you cut it into thirds? And then they cut it in half.
Yeah.
And then they go, I didn't hear you. There's a plastic bag in between us.
Right.
You know, there's a plastic shield. They said, no problem, meaning I had heard the request, and I will fulfill this request happily. And then it was just, it was cut in half and then two quarters.
Yeah. Very confused, too. Like I gave them a really hard math problem to solve.
Now, I'm trying to remember what this person looked like. Was this person a young man, like a teenage boy? Or was it an older woman? Because I feel like we've had interactions with both.
I think that was the younger man.
Okay. Now, again, even if you're a young person, 18, 19, maybe even 20 years old, you know, I feel like you can conceptualize what a third of a sandwich would entail. And like Blitz said, he's not looking for you to measure it out and mark it up and stuff, but you kind of get about three evenly
sliced portions
of the sandwich. This was not the case.
Mm-mm.
And I remember vividly, you know, seeing the sandwich get cut in half. And then when Blitz is dissatisfied, this is what he says. And this is with everything, not just sandwiches, but just life in general. He'll go, okay.
Or I say, or not.
He'll say, or not. Or he'll go, okay. That means that's an indication, red flag, something's not right.
Yeah.
I've never seen Blitz really get super angry before, except like with the Hootie caper. That he was very upset.
Oh, look, the sandwich deal, I turned to you and we just laughed.
Like, we laughed.
It's food. Like, it eats the same. Like, I really don't care. So it's like, I'm not going to call the manager. I don't care.
Of course not.
It's just, they're just dumb.
They're just dumb. And, but I think also, you know, because you had so politely requested something simple.
And he said, absolutely, no problem.
No problem. And then was like,
I think maybe he
forgot, like, because he's so used to just cutting it in half. Maybe that we can. But he also didn't call it out, which is probably what you should do. Be like, you know what? I just cut it. I'm so sorry. And then immediately it disarms you.
Yeah.
I would have, if I made a request and someone did something wrong, it immediately disarms me when they go, listen, I'm really sorry.
I'd be like,
about that.
Hey, man, no problem. Just cut the other half in half. We're good.
We're good. Let's go.
Really, like, who cares? It's just funny.
Like you said, it eats the same. No big deal. But yeah, this wasn't the case. But yeah, I do want to say Publix is awesome. My home Publix, that's usually where you find the best service is your home Publix because people recognize your face.
Yeah.
And also, I know the manager of my home Publix. He was a fan of the previous station I worked on.
Oh, okay.
But he follows me still. Sure. You know, he follows me on Bubba Show and stuff like that. But he seemed to be a big bonehead, if you will. Good guy, fun guy.
Right.
We talk about stuff. We talk radio. We talk shop. It's good. He tells me what's going on, the deals at Publix, you know, on and on. So,
I do say I miss my old home Publix because the current ones, like the one I go to the most of the time, the two-story one, it's nice, but it's really small. So they don't have a whole lot of stuff there.
Is this the one next to your gym?
Yeah.
Okay.
They just don't have a lot of stuff. So it's kind of small. It is small.
Okay.
Yeah, it's small.
Okay.
Especially compared to the ones by my house, my old house.
Right.
And then the other one that I go to, not the nicest Publix in town.
Not the nicest Publix in town.
No.
Is that the one maybe close to Soho?
No, that one's okay.
Okay.
Oh, no, this one is farther away, but I happen to be in that area every now and then.
Right.
And it's not so nice.
Not so nice, yes. So I don't know what's going on in the hot food section of all the Publixes across America, Southeast, whatever.
Oh, I had we had to call the manager that one time recently.
Yeah, and you were like, not happy. You were maybe a little hangry, and I don't blame you. You hadn't eaten in a while.
Well, when there's 12 people working behind the counter.
Like I said.
And none of them are even looking over at the hot plate area.
No, they were just like making the sandwiches and stuff, but not the...
And they were walking around. They were just like having a good time. And
and it was bizarre because there were a few people in front of us that seemed to be not bothered because they worked at Publix and they understood how things happen, or in this
don't happen. Yeah.
Correct. Yes. So they were just standing there patiently just listening to music or maybe a podcast or something on their phone, just completely, you know, yeah, this is... And it was kind of bizarre because typically... At least it, when I would be working, if someone was off the clock but a staff member,
right,
you go out of your way
sure.
to make sure that your coworker is taken care
yes.
of. Like if I was working at a bar and the day shift chick got off and wanted a beer, I wouldn't just like fuck off and I'd be like, Erica, like, what do you want? Or, you know, Nancy, whatever.
Yep.
What do you need? What's going on? You want to make sure that they're taken care of because you want to give your friends good service. Not in this case.
You know, even
nope.
And I'm okay with even like the guy cutting up the meat for the sub, you know, not in my area, going, hey man, we'll see you over there. Just give us a second. You know, we're real busy right now or
let them know
whatever.
That you're being, you're seen.
Yeah, let us know that I've been there for 20 minutes and no one's bothered to say anything.
Mm-hmm. Nothing at all. And the hot food section is probably the easiest thing to run behind the counter because you don't have to really construct anything.
Right.
You're just either some tongs or maybe some sloppy Joe or mac and cheese just in the plate, close it up, wrap it up, weigh it, boom, sticker, there you
yeah.
go. But once they finally got somebody behind there, I mean, there were already 10 people behind the counter, but once they finally got, you know, the nice black lady that came out to help us, everything was...
Sure.
was okay until they ran out of ketchup. And then I was like, oh, we got to get the fuck out of here before Blitz burns this whole place down. That was probably the worst service I've ever seen at a Publix. A little bit shocking, but Publix just has better quality stuff. And it's just, they have good BOGO deals. And typically you do get pretty good service, just not when you want to order hot food.
Realistically, there's not a whole lot of competition of a Publix-like store.
Right, unless you want to go to Winn-Dixie,
Publix like store.
That's what I'm saying. Is like if Winn-Dixie is your closest rival, it's a no brainer.
Right,
you go Publix. You go Publix every fucking time.
Or like Whole Foods or Fresh Market, but those are like bougie stores that I can't afford to shop there. So.
Right, unless it's on Tuesdays and you're getting chicken because it's what like buy one get one or.
Or Thursdays and you got to stand in a long ass line for.
That was also a loss.
To the point that you leave.
And they don't care, and they go, we don't have any chickens. And you go, I literally just saw a guy bring out
like
trays.
40 of them.
Of 40 rotisserie chickens.
Oh, yeah,
and
but
they go, we don't have
any. They're cooking them. They'll be done in like 10, 15 minutes. No, they're cooked.
You're like,
they're
making eye contact with the headless chickens as you speak.
Yeah, cooked. They're steaming. They're done. Like, they're done.
They're completed. But, yeah, so listen, it's and you just kind of got to... You got to laugh it off, and depending on what kind of mood Blitz or I are in, depends on how that's going to go. You were very not happy. I was a little bit concerned. This was post Grand Prix. We stopped at a Publix, and I saw it was busy. It was like a Sunday afternoon, and I went, "This is not going to end well." But
yeah,
it's okay. The
manager was like, "Oh, yeah, it's busy. I'm sure."
Yeah, when they don't give a fuck, you know, nothing's getting done. 813-90-BUBBA. Today we witnessed radio greatness, really.
Yeah.
That was awesome. If you missed the White Trash Wedding, there's snippets of it on our Instagram that I posted. I'm not quite sure what is up on YouTube as we speak, but it'll probably be up by the end of the day, I imagine.
No.
Maybe by the end of next week or the month, but you're going to see
it. Twitch exclusive 24 hours, so early as it comes up is tomorrow afternoon.
All right, so if you're subscribed to Twitch, you should be able to go in and see the archives and see the show. It's in the first like hour. You definitely want to see the pregame of us before they arrive. We're watching the Springer segment, and then we interview the happy newlyweds, and then Bubba weds them. He marries them. He officiates their wedding. And it was a quick ceremony. It was beautiful. You know, a few tears were shed, I'm sure. The three children were present, her children, not the the groom.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting couple. You know, it's
over under.
Two weeks? I don't know. Three tops? I'm not quite sure. It is interesting to meet people.
It is.
That have a vastly different perspective on life and life lived than you, you know? And it's funny because people really very much are a product of their environment. And some of the things that I was thinking, you know, like how different Cash's life would be if, say, he didn't come to the States, right? Obviously, he probably wouldn't be speaking English. He wouldn't be American. Maybe he would have tattoos on his face. Maybe he wouldn't. I don't know. But then you think about people like, for example, you know, and this is no secret, you know, Babyface was adopted.
Right.
And he has no interest in finding his birth parents, but he does know that they were very young. And it was funny because I was kind of thinking, like, it could very well be the case that he would have come from a similar family, Babyface,
sure.
And maybe ended up in a similar situation as an adult as his parents because they were very young. Maybe they were on drugs. Maybe they weren't. I don't really know. Neither does he, I don't think. But he was adopted into a very loving home, and he is brilliant. I mean, he's a super smart guy.
Well, let's not get crazy.
It doesn't matter. I'll give credit where credit is due. I'm not going to work this one. This is a shoot. He's pretty fucking smart.
No, he is.
He's got a good head on his shoulders. He's a good person. He's a good man. He's a good husband. He's a good father.
Okay.
I know, but it's just, to me, you just think about what could have been had his parents decided to keep him.
Well, do you think, too, most adoptive parents, like, not take better care of their kids, but they generally, like, are on the better of the...
The echelon of...
Because Cash said his parents, his adoptive parents, kicked him out when he was 14.
I have a feeling Cash was a little bit problematic.
Remember that they didn't want him to begin with.
His parents didn't want him to... The adoptive parents?
Correct. They wanted the younger
younger brother.
And they
okay.
had to take him as part of the package deal.
Right. So there could have been some resentment. I don't think we talked too much about his younger brother, but I would like to see where this person end up and what they're up to and things like that. But it's very interesting when you see, and I'm a testament to this, and maybe there's some aspects of your life, Blitz, where you see your parents and you go, wow, I'm turning into them. That's happening.
Sure.
I say that all the time, especially when it comes to my father. You know, my dad is a very, not... odd, kind of. He's bizarre. He's a bizarre man with, you know, sometimes he has like some strange interests and some strange way of handling things. He's kind of quirky. And I remember as a kid, it was very embarrassing. And I'd be like, why is my dad like this? He's so weird. Why can't he just fit into a box like all my other friends' parents? And then you grow up and you just turn right into them. You just, and you go, whoa, this is happening. And you complain about the same things and you have similar mannerisms, and it's interesting because the apple doesn't fall at all. Now, obviously, I'm going to have more in common with a biological parent who raised me than, say, you know, an adoptive parent or someone who was given up at birth. And those studies are actually the most interesting when they look at twin studies who've been separated at birth because they have the same genetics.
Right.
But they don't have the same upbringing, and typically there's a lot of similarities. Obviously, if they're twins or even siblings, they're going to have a lot of similarities, even if they're raised in different homes. But, you know, you see people, you know, like Angie and stuff, and you see her three lovely kids, and then you just see her, you know, Haley's three young children, and you go, I wonder what's in store. I wonder how this will turn out. I would love to get an update in about 7 years when they're well into their teens.
When they've been to JDC a few times or the youth jail.
They've been to juvie, in and out maybe, and you just go, huh, is there any hope? But, you know, when you're exposed to this sort of thing, it's just kind of normal. It's natural for you to just, you know, be that way. And why? And like, I cannot even, I never saw my parents drink a sip of alcohol unless it was like wine at dinner, and if that, it was a half a glass of wine. You know, I can't imagine saying mommy's drunk at 6:30 in the morning as a 7-year-old.
Right, and they said it like this is something we see all the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even think I knew what drunk was at 6 or 4. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't understand that concept.
Right.
And surely not, mommy wasn't drinking vodka at 6:30 a.m. out of a Kirkland water bottle.
And they knew that it, like, is not right, and to call it out.
Call out mommy. That just seems, and then for mommy to threaten not to feed them, you know, somewhat in jest. But, you know, it's just, you know, and grandma's clapping along. I can't imagine bubby being on Springer. Like, that's not.
Why not?
Bubby just didn't, bubby was a little bit different. You know, she was starting up, like, youth clinics for underprivileged kids in South Central L.A.
She
didn't have time.
She wasn't stealing her daughter's boyfriend?
No, she was not. She was trying to get, like, birth control for women who've been denied access to birth control.
Oh.
In the early 60s.
Well, I wish Bubby would have done a better job.
Yeah, Bubby also served as a nurse in World War II.
Oh.
So there's just a little bit of a discrepancies between, like, my concept of grandmother and those kids' concept
of
grandmother.
So what you're saying
is
same, same, but different.
Same, same, but it's exactly what I'm saying. Thank you. I couldn't have said it better myself. 813-90 Bubba. Yeah. So you just go, wow.
Did you know
that's
that,
interesting?
Did you know that Scout and Big Gulp are Hall of Famers?
I do.
And they also donated $10 cash. Super Woo! Chat. $10 Super Chat.
Thank you, Scout and Big Gulp. And thank you for all the goodies. We've been thoroughly enjoying them.
Yes.
I don't have to buy nuts for, like, at least the next the 2 weeks because I eat them a lot. I eat a lot of nuts.
And some Celsius.
Lightly salted. Yes, and the Celsius.
And same, FTE Greg and Amy also sent some Celsius.
Very, very sweet people. Amy reached out to me in concern over the episode we encountered a couple weeks ago and just told me to just be on alert, and I appreciate that, Amy. I appreciate you reaching out and just being concerned about your fellow human beings. Much very much appreciated.
Yep.
So yeah, it's interesting for me to kind of when you see people who are just vastly different from yourself, they have a very different relationship with their family. You know, some people have a hard time even talking vaguely about sex with their mother.
Sure.
Or, you know, I'm definitely not talking about black dildos with mom.
Why not?
I'm definitely not punching mom on the face on Springer. By the way, I was thinking about this as I was eating alone during the break. I know you were doing important things. I'm not trying to, shit on you or anything.
Cleaning up and helping Bubba.
And setting up here. So I very much appreciate it. But I didn't have my cell phone, and I'll talk about that in a second as well. But me just sitting, eating, thinking, and not saying anything, it's interesting what happens when you don't have stimulation in front of you at all times, like your cell phone. And you start to, go into cracks and crevices in your brain that you would not otherwise have gone into when you're just staring at other people's lives. So I started thinking about Jerry Springer, and I'm like, what a life. I've met Springer before. I met him when I worked at the Bone, and it was really embarrassing because when the elderly sales staff knew that he was in the building, they rushed over from their sales quarters. And not only did they want to meet Springer, not only did they want to take a photo with Springer, but they wanted to stage a fight that Springer was breaking up.
What?
So, like, old man Tom and old woman Jane were, like, squaring up in this photo op.
Oh, okay.
And Springer was, like, breaking it up.
Okay.
And then someone from, the Drew Garabo show, who shall remain unnamed, had to take photos of said interaction.
Wow.
So, and those were fucking hilarious because the shit that guy has to go through. Now, it's really funny because if you just look at Springer, he's just like an old guy. What is he? He's probably 80 something.
78. He just turned 78.
Yeah, he's an older guy. And it's funny because you see that guy walking around Sarasota, which is where he lives.
But he's from London.
It says
he was born in London.
I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
I knew that he was the mayor of Cincinnati.
Yes.
Yeah, there was a check written to a prostitute caper in the 70s, I believe.
I don't know when, but yeah, somewhere around that.
Something like that, yes. But now I think he resides at least partially in Sarasota.
That is correct. And he has for a while.
Yes. And I could just imagine, like, him and people his age, people who look like him, old Jews who live in Sarasota, so the entire community. When you think about, like, swearing in front of grandpa and you're like, hey, don't use that language around grandpa. And then, but your grandpa's Jerry Springer.
Right.
He's like, are you fucking kidding me? Do you know the shit I've seen over the last 3 decades? Please. I started thinking about how you get on Springer. Now, I used to watch Jerry Springer with my Jewish grandmother. That's how we would bond. My South African Jewish grandmother, we called her Safta. I would go and I would sit. Safta had like a big like recliner chair. And I remember sitting on the floor in front of her. And I think she would like braid my hair or like pat my head or something. I like it when people touch my head and touch my back and stuff. But let's close this. I'm like a little cat. I just like to be pet.
Right.
And I would sit on the ground. Safta would be like, you know, braiding my hair, rubbing my head or something. And we would just be watching Springer. And then you would just hear a little outburst from Safta, like be like, ooh, my, like whatever. I can't do it a South African accent, but you understand.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Hello! Face in the cake. And that's how we would bond. And I think I remember, because I had watched it with my grandmother, I would say for at least like 5 or 6 years, she lived with us. So, you know, I'd always, after school, I would just kind of pop into her room and sit and watch, and that's how we would bond. Now, I believe during the commercials or right before they went to commercial break, or maybe it was after the show, you know, during the credits, it's like, if you have a story that you would like to share, yes, please contact blah, blah. So, you know, I always wondered the type of people, because it just seems to be a never-ending honey hole of people that are willing to put themselves on TV and punch their mom in the face and talk about their sex lives. And, you know, I always wondered, like, how that would go. Do they have a rehearsal beforehand? I mean, do we know, you know, I hate to say it's staged, but I feel like everybody knows that it kind of is. Mm-hmm. And how that goes, and the waivers that you have to sign when you are, you know, you're going to get punched in the face, or you may throw a few punches, and that's going to be okay, because sure, that's what people are tuning in to watch. So, and I wonder how much they get paid.
Good question.
So, I was just kind of thinking about Springer, kind of thinking about things. I have been off social media now. Not completely. I mean, I still look at Facebook and stuff to see the local events, but I've been off my personal Instagram for about 6 or 7 weeks now. And I feel so much better. My OCD is getting better. But I'm just giving you a report. If you're thinking about doing something similar, maybe you have OCD, maybe you are just feeling a little bit on edge, maybe you're having some issues where you are comparing yourself every moment of every day. And I was talking to my girlfriend about this in terms of the whole comparison thing. And most people think it's like a looks deal, where I see like a hot chick on Instagram and I'm like, oh, I wish I looked like her. And of course, that happens from time to time. But right, it was much more about me hitting or not hitting landmarks in life. Like, I would see a friend buy a home.
Mm-hmm.
Or I would see a friend get married and have a kid. Two things I don't even think that I want. But whatever. Just where you think you should be. When all of your friends are getting married. When all of your friends are getting engaged. Or acquaintances. You start to go, is there something wrong with me that this isn't happening for me? Or I would have like an accomplishment. I would accomplish something and I'd feel really good about myself. But then I go and I would see, you know, someone my age or younger, and they have a thriving business worth millions of dollars, you know, my friend or maybe just a famous person on Instagram. And I go, how am I even proud of myself right now for what I accomplished? Look at this person just killing it right now. So it was this sort of constant comparison. And I think there's like some quote, trite thing that people say is like the comparison is the thievery of all joy, you know. So you feel really good about yourself, but then you start to compare, and then you go, well, actually, I'm not as good as this person, or pretty, or young, or go to UT, or whatever the case may be. So I'm like, what would be the case if I just stopped looking at this shit? What kind of changes would I see? So I decided to do a little bit of an experiment, and I said, okay, you're done. You're wasting too much time on Instagram. It's embarrassing. I would see, you know how you can like look up the screen time about how much you spent on any given app?
Oh, yeah.
It was bad. I mean, it was probably between an hour and a half to 2 hours every single day of just mindless scrolling, but and not all at once.
You did it smart. You said, I'm going to take a week off and see where we're at.
Yes. Here's the thing that I learned from Jordan Peterson. He talks a lot of stuff. Sometimes it's very esoteric and it's hard to follow. And I'm like, what are you even fucking saying? But one of the things he said is that people set goals that are too high. You need to lower your goals, which is usually something that most people don't say. They're like, set your goals high, reach for the stars.
Right.
Wrong. You keep your goals fucking low as shit so that you can climb over them, and then you just kind of inch them higher and higher.
Yes, then you set new goals.
Exactly. So you just have tiny little goalposts.
Incremental, yeah.
Right. So I said, all right, I'm not going to, if I swear off Instagram forever, there's just no way, because then you're just white-knuckling it.
Sure.
But I was like, I know, because I've done it before, I know I can take a week off. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take 1 week off, just see how I feel. So it was, I started on a Wednesday, follow the next Wednesday, go, you know what? That felt kind of good, not great, because I still had phantom Instagram thumb, where every time the phone was down, I would immediately just pick it up. I'm like, on it, it's not there, it's gone. Stop looking at it. So I'm like, let me give it another week. Gave it another week. Then I would say into the third week was when I really started to see some actual progress, where I'm like, okay, now I know it's not there. I don't have, it's not like a impulse anymore.
Sure.
And I'm feeling not like attached to the phone like I once was, where you wake up and you immediately want to look and stuff. At this point in time, it's been less than 2 months, I'd say maybe 6 or 7 weeks. I mean, I will forget to look at my phone for hours, and I don't feel any attachment to it anymore. It's a tool that I use, not something that I need to entertain me every moment of every day. I used to look at my phone. I don't know if this happens with you. I feel like if you look at like a phone for too long, especially like a small screen, I start to get like a headache.
Sure.
I don't know if other people get this as well, but I would get like a headache, and the only way to get rid of the headache was to go to bed. Either take a nap or go to sleep. And that would happen to me somewhat regularly. I would say probably at least once every other week, I would get like somewhat of a headache from just looking at a screen for too long, for hours and hours and hours. And so I stopped, and now I don't feel the urge to look at my phone as much. And I have not had a headache in 6 or 7 weeks. So that's good. Mm. But It's awesome, and it's something that people always talk about that they know is bad, that they know they're addicted, but it's really hard to manage your addiction when everybody around you is also addicted. You know, it's hard to gauge who's an alcoholic in college when everybody is in a fraternity and sorority and is binge drinking, you know, 4 to 7 nights a week. You know, if I was drinking like I was in college now, I would be in AA. I would have a serious problem. Now, it takes a while to find out who's an alcoholic mm-hmm. in college. You have to actually wait about 10 years and then circle back. And if people are still drinking every night like they did in college, you go, oh, you have a problem now. Sorry.
Right.
It was super cute when we were young, when we were 19 and 20, before we could actually drink. That's when you should be drinking, mm-hmm. binge drinking. But now, it's not good. And I actually not ran into a friend, but I had a friend come visit me about 3 years, and I'm going to see her next month at a wedding, actually.
Okay.
And this friend was a heavy drinker in college, but we all were heavy drinkers in college, so I didn't think that this person had a problem. I thought that all of my friends, much like myself, would kind of, I don't want to say grow out of it, not grow out of drinking, but grow out of the lifestyle of having to drink every fucking day in excess.
Right.
You know, that's something that we did in college, so I thought. But there are some people who actually continue with that trend. And when this person came to visit me, it was March of 2019, so 3 years ago, she came to visit me with one of her friends. I realized that she was drinking at the same frequency and volume as we did in college, and that was very alarming. So I had a few private conversations with the friend that she brought, because her friend, you know, this person lives in a different state, so. Yep. I was like, is this like something? Is she just on vacation? Like, I was giving the friend take it out. Like, yeah. Is Susie Q just on vacation and she's kind of acting crazy? Or is this like how Susie Q has been for the last decade? She goes, this is Susie Q's MO. This is what she does. And it seemed to make sense, because when I asked Susie Q, what my friend from college, you know, all her hobbies, it seems like there was the kickball hobby, where they would have drinks every game. And then there was the beer tasting hobby, where she was, you know, at a brewery once a week. And then there was the wine tasting. And it was just everything was, you know, seemed to involve alcohol, which was a little bit alarming. But thankfully, we're going to a wedding next month where there's an open bar. So we can just, you know,
that's good.
Start up right where we left off. So it should be good. But Anywho, 813-90-BUBBA. We'll take a short break, and then we'll be back in about 3 to 4 minutes.
Perfect.
Sound good? All right.
Wow, I think, how have I been living like this? Kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. You're thinking, wow, how have I been affording getting gouged so bad? It's time to make the switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. And I mean, Mint Mobile's quality of wireless service is unbelievable. Say bye-bye to the overpriced wireless plan, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. They slow you down and completely screw with you. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at just $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with your existing contacts. Ditched overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited plan deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. Get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for only $15 a month. Go to mintmobile.com/Bubba. That's mintmobile.com/BUBBA. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Bubba. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower than 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fee, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
All right, we're back. I'm here with my spouse and coworker, yeah. Blitz. Together,
Kroll,
we are Brummel.
Kroll with a $5 super chat.
Thank you for the monies. Much appreciated. Thank you very much. 813-90-BUBBA. We're going to be with you probably for the next, I don't know, 20, 25 minutes, something like that. And then we got to get ready for tonight.
This guy says silence is not good radio, and you're right. We have to take a break, and we're not allowed to play anything.
Yeah, so it's just dry, guys.
So
I'm sorry.
We actually talked about this just a second ago. I'm going to find a few things we can play so that we have something.
Right, yeah. We need something a little bit to kind of dress it up. Because, yeah, it's coming in dry. It feels uncomfortable.
It's not good.
In every situation, you want it wet. You want it lubed up.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
And tears are the best.
Yes, tears are the best lube. My grandma, my bubby always said, tears are the best lube.
I saw that episode of Jerry Springer. She was
on. It was great. I do have a question for you. Is there actually a car show going on tomorrow morning?
Yes.
Okay. Were you planning on attending it?
Kinda.
Okay. I don't care if you go. And this isn't like, I don't care. It's fine. I just didn't know it. This was not, you never told me about this, so I didn't know if there was like an expectation.
No, I kind of just heard about it.
Okay.
It's
right
down the street from the house.
I got it. Yeah. Listen, you.
So I might like briefly go and then come back.
You come back. Perfect.
That was the plan.
That's great. That's awesome. No problem there as long as I just. I don't understand why they have to be so early. Maybe a lot of these people are fathers and they need to get back, and mothers maybe. I don't want to discriminate against any car owners that may be female, of course. But I imagine the vast majority of these the people that own these cars might be male. Is that safe to assume?
Yeah.
I would say so. I would say there's probably more car guys that own cars.
Way more.
Than women. And I think that much like evolutionary psychology would have it, the women seem to be interested in the guys that have the cars, but maybe not so much the cars themselves.
Yeah, there'll be like a few like car girls there, and they stand out.
Uh-huh.
Because there's so few of them.
Yes.
But it's probably 95% males, if not more.
Yeah. And when the females that are there, they may be what you call the car bunnies. Is that it? Okay.
Yeah.
And they're probably pretty easy to point out because their titties are out, maybe. Is that kind of like a vibe?
Yeah.
They're putting them on display, I would imagine, because they're not there for the cars. I don't know if you people know this. They're not there for the cars. They're there for the people that own the cars.
Yeah, and it's funny, the higher, so like this car show is kind of like, there's a small section of like, hey, these are really nice cars. And there's a whole section of like, if you have a car you think people might want to see, just show up.
Mm.
Now, there's some car shows that are like invite only, like the Festival of Speed in St. Pete, things like that. You'll get a lot of car bunnies at those shows.
Okay.
Because there's like a lot of rich dudes.
That's really smart. And it was funny because like at first I was dogging these car bunnies, but I'm like, that's a really good play on their part.
And here's what you'll see a lot.
Where to find them.
Here's what you'll see a lot is mothers with their daughters trying to sell off their daughters to these guys. Now, by daughters, I mean like 19, 20, 21, 22-year-olds.
But is mom hot?
Usually, yes.
Okay.
But they'll be like this setup. You know, they're there for their like, hey, oh, look at him. Look at him.
Now, where is there a father husband in the picture or no?
Who cares?
I'm just asking. I need to know the setup.
I don't know.
These like single moms that are also looking for partners themselves, or it's,
I don't know.
Maybe dad has a car, and on the side, she's like, "Hey,
could be."
Okay, I'm just wondering how that would go. That's an interesting play on mom's part, but it also makes sense. Like if you are trying to exploit your daughter and kind of prostitute her off, you want someone who's gonna have money.
Sure.
Obviously that didn't even fucking occur to me to be a car bunny. I mean, if you're gonna be a bunny. You know, so kind of like a groupie chick with anything, that might be the place to go because it's probably a lot easier to get into, like, I imagine, a free car show, right?
Yeah, yeah. As long as you can get there, you're in.
You're in, right. And especially if you're a hot chick, you probably stand out a little bit.
Yeah.
And that would be a lot easier than, say, trying to bang, I don't know, an athlete that it has security around him all the time or a rock star or a rapper or something like that. It may be a lot harder to get to those people.
Sure.
You're going to have to jump through a lot of hoops. You're going to have to know people. You're going to have to be in the scene. But with this, maybe you're not banging a celebrity, but you're banging an investment banker who has a lot of money.
Yes.
Or a guy who really made it big on crypto or something like that.
Yeah, and wasted all his money on a car.
Yes, absolutely. And I feel like, and it's funny because like, if you were to put money into something, whether it be a home or a car, what would you put more money into? And obviously, homes are more than cars, obviously. But I'm saying in terms of if you were to display your wealth in one way or another, what would you choose? I would say you'd probably want to go home. But for people who maybe are a bit more obsessed with image, you're going to be out and about in your car more. And people are going to see you with your car more.
Yeah.
So you might want to invest your money into your car to kind of show that, hey, I got money, even though maybe that's the only asset you have.
Yeah, so it's funny because those type of people generally don't have the nicest of cars. Like, they're high-end expensive cars, but not that next level of car.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the next level of car, you can buy and make money on. Generally the ones that the people you're talking about buy.
Give me an example of like the car that's not quite top.
Like the low end Porsche, very low end Ferrari that's, 5-10 years old. Super low end like Lamborghini that, you're not gonna lose much money, but you're not gonna make money. But if you buy the upper end Lamborghini, the upper end Ferraris, you're gonna probably make money on those.
Interesting.
And those people also have like a nice home. And,
of course, they have enough money to buy it all.
Yeah.
Jay.
Right.
But I feel like people with the low end Lamborghini, it's just they just want to claim the brand. I have a Ferrari.
Sure.
And you're not going to tell people what you have, what kind of Ferrari you have, but you have a Ferrari.
But the thing is, most people, like if someone came up to you and said, oh, I have a Lamborghini, you'd be like, wow. And if they said, oh, well, it's a, you know, it's a 2010 Gallardo.
Love it. Right. I love the Gorgonzola.
And most people will be like, that's awesome. It's a Lamborghini.
Lamborghini, right. Now,
very few people that are, you know, are car people and go, oh, well, that's the lower end one. Whatever.
Yeah. To me, it seems weird to call someone out for being a jobber if they own a Lamborghini or a Bugatti or a Porsche or something.
Right. And so the one brand that people kind of, the car people clown on is Maseratis.
Okay.
Maserati is like, you know, they're nicer, higher end cars, but like they're the entry level higher end cars.
Right. Now, someone like me, it's not a car bunny. I don't care. There's few things that I refuse to learn about, and I think cars might be one of them.
For now.
Yes. For now. I just don't fucking care. And I don't want to, I refuse to learn.
Right.
Like I really do think I have a pretty incredible memory when it comes to a lot of things, dates and whatnot, or even where things are placed, with Bubba's phone. I just noted it was there, and I said, it's right. I know exactly where it is. I remember seeing it.
I'm real good at that as well.
You are. Yeah. You're very vigilant. You pay attention to things, but also sometimes I'm a complete space cadet and I'm just and Blitz is like, you didn't see that? I'm like, no, I was looking at the stars during the daytime. I don't know. I just spaced the fuck out. I don't know what to tell you. But where was I going with this? Good memory. Oh, but when it comes to things like sports, where I could easily remember dates, places, people's names, this ages, all that sort of shit. No, I do not find this information valuable. I don't want to learn this.
Right.
If I'm going to, open up some memory space, some gigabytes in my brain, it's going to be for fucking plants and fungi, mycelium and things like that. History. I love history.
Cool.
Shit like that. That's what I want. So when it comes to things like cars and anything like mechanical, unless it's like history kind of based where I'm learning about the Industrial Revolution, when that happened and Eli Whitney and the cotton gin, stuff like that, then it's like, oh, then I can get on board. And that's exactly what I had to do when I worked at Horn Blasters, because initially I was like, who the fuck is buying this shit?
Yeah.
Business is booming. I don't understand why. Why do people... This is domestic terrorism. I would openly say that to Matt. Be like, what? What the fuck? Who are... these people don't have any money, and they're spending $2,000 on horns. Not Matt's problem. Not anyone's problem. It's your prerogative how you want to spend your money. But then when I started to say, okay, I get that the premise of this is kind of... And I say this with all due respect, Matt Heller, is kind of dumb. You're just being annoying. But when I kind of took that and I said, let's turn it into a science project with a compressor that builds, pressure to give to the horns. And there's a solenoid valve that has to be directional, and there's certain PSI and this, that, and the other. Then when I started to think about it like that, then it became fun.
Sure.
Then it became really fun. And then, people would call in, and when the guys would be away, guess who was fucking technical support?
Yep.
Me.
Of course.
And it was so funny because guys, we would have these newer guys answering the phones, and then they'd be like tech support, and they'd be like, all right, and fucking forward it to Anna. And I'm like, what's up? They're like, and they would say technical support. I go, yeah bitch, it's me. And then, they would ask me all these sorts of questions, and they'd be like, I just hear constant noise. I'm like, your valve's on backwards. They're like, it's a directional? I'm like, yeah, look at it. There's an arrow on it. Make sure that the direction of the air is going in that direction. They go, oh, thank you so much. Appreciate you. I'm like, appreciate you. So I made it fun in that way. I turned it into a science project.
Of course.
Even though I thought that the idea and the concept is insane, it's an insane idea that works. Sometimes those are the best ideas.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have money in the computer with blockchain. What? Yeah, that idea really took off.
Fake money?
Yeah. Well, what is it based on? What is it? What's backing it? Speculative interest. Oh, interesting. How do we monetize that?
Right. Guy is going to invent an algorithm, and all of a sudden, people are going to use their computers to waste electricity to make fake money?
Yeah,
stupid?
What is his name? Kakamako.
Yeah.
Sargento. What's his? Hold on. What's the Bitcoin guy? Sakamako.
Oda.
Nobunaga. we learned a lot about Japanese history, folks.
But he's not even real, by the way.
I know. I'm trying to think of the name. Sakimoto Tomagachi. What's his name?
Satoshi.
Satoshi Nakamoto.
Yeah, Nakamoto.
Nakamoto.
Yeah. But we don't even know who he really is.
Yeah, I know. He's kind of like, we don't know if he's a guy or a group of people or what the hell's going on. That's the alias. Say it again.
Satoshi?
Satoshi Nakamoto.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I did know that at one point, but it escaped my brain. We'll take a call. Hopefully it's good. Hello, who's this?
It might be good. I just forgot that you say you're not a car person, but you were awfully excited to drive Bubba's truck over your car.
Does that make me a car person? I mean, it was just kind of cool to be above the rest, you know?
Well, it means that you're like, you're interested in the nicer cars. Just because you don't want to know about the cars doesn't mean you don't like cars.
Right, that's a good point. I would like to ride in nice cars, but I don't want to learn about anything that they do. Correct.
So you're a car bunny.
I'm a car, correct. Now that you kind of spin it that way, I'm a car bunny.
I knew it.
Mm-hmm. You caught me.
All right.
Thank you. Track me. I didn't know if you want to say goodbye or sound like you're in line or getting a coffee. Hello, who's this?
Hey, Anna, it's Kim from Charleston. I don't know if I've been running errands, so I haven't been able to YouTube you guys.
No problem. Listen, no one's going to quiz you on the show. Just, what's this?
Yeah, I'll look at it later.
Okay.
But I was just earlier in the show, because you know I'm a you and Blitz fan. I've been rooting for y'all all together. I called one time when you were hosting, and I called about my son going to law school. I don't know if you remember.
I do remember that, yes.
Okay. Remember you and Blitz were talking about going to a car show and you sleeping in?
Yes.
I like totally got freaked out because this guy creeps me out, the one that thinks you're the goddess.
Right.
And it freaks me out because now I'm freaked out like, oh, she's sleeping in the morning. Blitz is going to a car show. I don't know how Florida is, but Charleston, you can easily find out where someone lives. And if he showed up at that studio, obviously knowing, Anna, that y'all were all at that condo or whatever, it really freaks me out that you're there by yourself. I mean, I'm freaked out for you.
Oh, don't be. I'm
not.
She's
got a closet full of guns, and no one knows where I live.
Yeah, I don't think anybody knows where he lives.
Well, you got a closet full of guns, Blitz, but Anna is probably like me and doesn't even know where the trigger is, okay?
I know where the trigger is.
She's
I'm
got
not
a couple she knows how to use if she has to.
If need be, but I'm not too worried about it. I think it'll be okay. And I think if he was going to...
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think the thing that I was worried about is like publicly telling, you know, that she's going to be alone, because this guy really freaks me out.
Yeah, he freaks me out too. I don't think we've heard much from him in the last 2 weeks. Not that that means that he's any safer or anything.
No. That's even scarier.
That he's planning his next attack.
Well, hopefully he just took the hint like, hey, this is not a joke anymore. Like, go away.
Yeah, so hopefully that's the case. But I mean, I go home, I'm asleep in my own home every night. So, you know, I'm not going to be afraid to go to bed and go where I live and stuff. So I'm not going to live in fear. I think I should be okay.
No, I'm not saying to live in fear.
Right.
But when it's like on and I'm in Charleston listening and I'm a big Blitz and Anna fan. And
oh, thanks.
I knew it from the beginning. I'm like, oh, my God, he's so adorable. She's so adorable. And I'm rooting for y'all the whole time, you know, a normal, sane person. And when you hear this insane weirdo, you know, and then, you know, when you say, okay, well, he's going to go to the car show, and I'm thinking, this guy is creepy.
Right, that he thinks that it's an open invitation to, because Blitz won't be there.
Yeah,
I think we'll be good. I don't know what else to tell you, but I think we're okay.
Good. Just take care, and I'm always here for y'all.
Oh, thank you, Kim, from Charleston. We appreciate you.
All right, bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Awesome. She's a sweet, sweet woman. Thank you for your concern. But it's funny because, like, my mother called me, and you talked to her a little bit as well about the situation. I created a little bit of a monster with my mother because like I said, she didn't listen to the show for the first year that I was on, and I made her feel bad about it.
Right.
And then as soon as she started listening, I think is when the Kenneth Kimberlin thing happened, and she's like, what in the actual fuck is going on over
like,
there?
Like, oh, this has been going on for years. You should have just been listening.
I know. So now I'm burdened with freaking my mom out, which was not the intention. So no. Now my mom calls me. She's like, I hear there's crazy people showing up, giving you flowers, giving you cards. He knows where the studios are. He knows when you're there, when you're not there. He goes, she was paranoid about this. So I made my mom feel bad for not listening. Now I made my mom feel bad because she's constantly in fear of my life. So it's fine, Mom. Everything's good. I, you know, Blitz is around more often than he's not. Yep. So I think we should be fine. And what I like about Blitz is it seems like you don't want to use the weapons that you have. Because
no.
There's some people who are gun guys and gals that I call them a little trigger happy.
Yeah.
Where they're like looking for a clean shot where they wouldn't get in trouble. They won't go out killing people. But if an opportunity were to arise where they know that they would be in the clear, they would definitely take the opportunity to do that.
I don't want to, and I would try anything I could to not have to. But
right.
I'm also very comfortable with having to if I need to.
Yes, and that's, I feel like, the perfect balance. You don't want someone that is excited to, kill somebody. So, 813-90-BUBBA.
Do you know anyone like that?
No. No, I said that just generally speaking.
Oh, okay, just asking.
Just people like to, you hear people talk. I hear boys talk sometimes. I know how they talk. And think, oh, I want to kill someone if I could, but I can't. But if I had a clean shot, man, that would make my fucking day. And I'm like, wow.
Oh, is that how they sound?
That's great. Will, stop saying that. I'm just kidding. But your birthday is coming up. So is Nancy Pelosi's and Tom Bean's.
Yes.
And I think that, I don't want to give away too many plans in terms of like where we'll be and where people can find us. But it seems like we have some sort of plans for the day.
We do.
You don't want to say the plans, obviously. No, it'd probably be a bad idea.
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not a good idea. I like celebrating other people's birthdays because I don't like celebrating my own.
I agree.
I really tried to claim my own birthday last year, and it was great. And it was a great fucking turnout.
It was awesome.
And thank you to the people that came out because it was just seeing a lot of people there made me feel cool, number one. And number two, it made me feel like I had somewhat of an impact in people's lives where they were like, Anna is a good enough friend or a cool enough person that I want to come see her for her birthday.
Absolutely.
And a lot of these people didn't just walk down the street. Like, they had to drive for 30 minutes, find parking, pay for parking, get an Uber home, all that sort of shit. So I very much appreciated it. It was fucking awesome. I mean, I would say throughout the day, people coming and going, I would say in the ballpark of probably like 18 people, which is awesome. And coming from a place like Detroit, I mean, I'm not from Detroit, but I lived there prior to living here.
I mean, you're pretty much a Detroitian.
Shut the fuck up. Not true. I would say in Detroit, I left with like zero friends because I like made zero impact on that city, which is kind of sad because you live somewhere for like 4 years. You think there's going to be like at least a few things you're going to miss. And there was not even a single one, which made me feel kind of... It was great because there were no strings attached, but also sad the fact that I had lived somewhere and almost purposely not set down any roots because I always knew I was leaving. It was always a transient state of living was being in Detroit. So now I'm here. I love it here. I have no intention of leaving. I'm really setting down some roots. And last year's birthday hang was awesome. It was great. But it was very tiring and very tiresome. And
it was all day.
It was all fucking day in the sun. It was hot. But I want to truly say thank you. I think this year, I definitely am going to just keep it more like low key. But I like doing things for other people's birthdays. Mm-hmm. That's way more fun for me because there's pressure to do stuff, but not pressure in the fact that like, listen, I tried my best. If no one fucking shows up, that's not my problem. Sort of a deal.
Right.
So I've kind of, there's maybe a few things in store for you. And also, there might be a Reagan brunch, not saying where it is or anything like that.
I was like, you don't have to do that for me.
No, no, there will be no
brunch. I'm like, what?
There will be no brunch for you.
Yeah,
yeah. So I like celebrating other people's birthdays, and I like to make other people feel special. Mm-hmm. Maybe in the back of my mind, it's also sort of a tit for tat deal where you're like, well, when my birthday comes around, I hope they make me feel special. There's obviously a little part of that.
Of course.
That's always the situation, but I really truly like making people feel like, hey, I matter, because that's what keeps people from killing themselves.
Yep.
Is hey, I matter to somebody. So I like to make it make people feel appreciated on the birthdays, which is a good thing to do. Hello, mm-hmm. Who's this? Hello. Hello.
Hey, good morning, Anna and Bliff. This is Fozzie. I had a question. I had lost some weight a long time ago, but about 100 and some odd pounds, 115 pounds, to be honest, kind of like Blitz, looking good, really rugged. But I gained most of all of that weight back. I'm pushing three bills now.
Oh, yeah?
And I was wondering, if Blitz takes a turn for the worse and gets fat, do you see yourself staying with fat Blitz?
Oh, no. No.
Yeah.
No, Blitz knows this.
Yeah.
No, I'd leave him in a heartbeat.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for calling. Yeah, I think that, like, Hooters has a good policy on this. And I had a friend who was my boss when I was working in Detroit at Dooley's Tavern in Sterling Heights. Tell me these stories. He's like, when I managed a Hooters, we would take a picture of the girls. Snap, snap, snap. You know, kind of like a mugshot. Front, side, back. And if something were to happen, say they discovered Krispy Kremes or something, and they decided to excessively eat and eat and eat, they would have a talk with the girl, because you have to be real careful with the shit with HR.
Oh, yeah.
And they would show them a picture of their former selves and go,
that's
Hi,
who we hired.
This is who we hired, Stephanie. See her? Here's from the front. Here's from the side. Here's from the back. This is who we hired. We don't know where that girl went or if she's been eaten, but we are a little bit concerned. So what they do, what they have to do, is they offer you a 30-day free membership to the gym.
Oh.
As if that's going to do anything if all you're eating is fucking fried chicken
right. And
cake.
But realistically, if you just do like half-hour cardio a day, you could just work that right off.
Carbio,
right?
Please.
Oh, okay.
But what happens in that case is they're so insulted that they usually quit.
Oh, even better.
Yes. So that's the whole kind of point, is you're like, you got an issue.
And then where do they go?
Right. And typically, I would say for most women, even the hottest of hot Hooters chicks would probably tell you that this is probably not a career they want forever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like, hey, you're this big time, you're a district attorney and you're getting fired. This is like, you work at Hooters. If you get fired, you just go work at Wing House, because now you got a fat ass, and they like fat asses over
there.
No,
they don't.
They don't?
No.
I thought Wing House girls were known for their asses.
Yeah, because they're like one day over 18 or 19.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And they're known for those asses.
All right. Okay. Maybe you're working at, I don't know, Sprouts.
Yeah.
You're working at Sprouts.
Yeah.
And you better cover the fuck up.
It's a farmer's market.
It's a farmer's market. You better cover the fuck up. And hey, yes. And when we have a holiday, like St. Patty's Day, you better show some fucking holiday spirit, okay?
Oh, yeah.
I want to see some shamrocks in your hair, okay? And some green glitter on your fucking face.
They got it.
They got it.
Elsie knew how to dress up.
Yeah. From Hooters to Sprouts.
Whoa.
A memoir. So I think that, like, Blitz and I have a tacit understanding. I don't think we've discussed this, but we'll do it on the air because
that's the best way to do it.
We got 10 minutes to kill. There's an understanding that, like, we like each other. We like the way each other looks right now.
Yeah.
Right now. Now, at the first sign of an alteration, I wouldn't bail. I don't think that's fair because people go through shit. Sometimes you get, there's a BOGO on cookie dough or something. I don't know, at Publix. It happens.
It does happen at Publix.
And you have to go and eat it. That's what happens. So I certainly wouldn't bail immediately over, you know, a 10-pound, 20-pound, even like a 30-pound gain. But if things started to really go in a direction that
things
I was like, hey.
Unravel?
Yeah. First off, I wouldn't make the first comment when he's pushing 100 pounds plus. That's not what I would first say.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I would probably say something, you know, maybe around the 20 or 30 pound mark and say, hey, Is everything okay? Mm-hmm. What's going on? Do we want to talk about it? What are some things that we can do? What can I do? And I hope that Blitz would do the same with me. Now, that will never happen on my end because I freak myself out too much to get to a point where there would need to be a talking to. That's not to say that I'm so perfect. It means I'm mentally unwell and I keep myself in check to the point where it's detrimental to my own health. But I will stay fit. I may be crazy, but I will stay fit. There you go.
Fair.
Okay. And I've never really let myself go before. And I would say probably the worst I've been in the last 10 years was when I started working here. And I had an 18 to, you know, 30-hour feeding window.
Sure.
And it was getting a little crazy. And I didn't really understand what was going on. I reduced that window, and everything is good now. We're good.
Now you have intermittent fasting.
I have intermittent fasting, as Lemmy calls it, and it's worked wonders for my gut health, for timing, for just not being bloated every fucking minute of every day. It's the best way to manage your weight, one of the best tools you can use, and you really all you have to do is not eat. For,
yes.
You know, that's it. What you have to do is not do. That's what you have to do, which is the best kind of doing is not doing, is what I would say. So I got it under control. I always have. And that's, again, because of the OCD. But I think that Blitz would want me to say something before it came to the point where I was ready to throw in the towel. I don't think that's fair either.
No.
To just say, hey, this happened. I'm over it. Bye. And obviously that won't happen because you, as a person who's in a relationship with a spouse, you tend to get more and more emotionally attached to that person. It's not like suddenly one day you stop having feelings.
Right.
You know, but if I started to notice a significant change, I would say something.
Good.
I would say something because I don't want to feel trapped. Because when I start to feel trapped, I start to act like Putin and I start making bad decisions. You know what I mean?
I don't want to get bombed.
You're not going to get invaded. You're not going to get bombed.
Okay, good.
But when I feel like I'm a trapped animal, then I start making some rash decisions.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people do.
Yeah.
So, and I wouldn't say that I'm a commitment phobe, but I don't like feeling trapped. And I would say most people don't.
Mm-hmm.
But I really don't know how to, like, deal with that because I've never had to be trapped in a relationship. So my default setting is single.
Yep.
And I'm not scared of being single.
Yeah, me
so,
either.
Right. It's not like I'm like, what will I do? It's like, I'll just be where I was before.
Yeah.
Like, no big deal. So, you know, I would definitely say something to Blitz. And I think he would want that before the point of being like, this is a problem, a serious problem now.
Right.
And if it were reversed, of course, I would want him to say, something to me. And it would hurt my feelings, but you know what? I would fucking take action for sure. I don't want anyone to feel trapped with me or be with me and they're no longer attracted to me or whatever the case may be. If it's something I can't control, obviously, then shut the fuck up. But if it is, then please let me know. You know what I mean?
Actually, I did want to say something.
Oh, shit.
You would look better with 275s. Okay, fine. I won't talk about it ever again.
That's actually a perfect way to kind of go out.
You would look better with 327s.
I
won't bring it up ever again.
I would. Yeah, right. Exactly. Until literally the next day.
Yeah.
I will never get breast implants. I should rephrase that. If I am horribly disfigured for whatever reason, if I have a child or two and they suck my titties dry, and they're all lopsided and shit, maybe I'll get some work done. But
you only let them suck one side?
Yeah, just one side. Just one tit.
Yeah.
But other than that, no. It's just not... It oddly enough, despite it being probably the thing I made fun of the most, it's one of the things I'm the least insecure about.
Sure.
I don't know why. It's just there's things that I'm far more insecure about that nobody ever says to me. Like cellulite on my legs. Like no one has ever said anything, but that shit bothers me way more than, you know, my small
and
chest.
And you don't even really have any, by the way.
Maybe not, but I feel like I do. Not more than any normal woman would.
Definitely not.
And I keep in like pretty good shape, so it's not like it's just crazy. But, you know, with age and even with young girls, I mean, I see girls in their early 20s and they got cellulite. Oh, yeah. So, I try to keep it in check, but I'm much more insecure about that, and I'm not made fun of that at all than, you know, my chest size. It's just, it's not my energy. It's not anything. I have no problem with any sort of plastic surgery. You want to look like a fucking lizard, by all means, do split your tongue. I don't care.
Yeah.
You want to get a fake titties, by all means. If it makes you happy, go and fucking do it. Live your best life. You only got one to live. So I'm all for that. But just for me, it's just not going to work. And also just, I keep a pretty active lifestyle. And not to say you can't with bigger titties, but it's just, it's more inconvenient. You know, when I'm trying to get someone inside control and they just got a mouthful of my tit, I don't think Blitz is going to be too happy about that.
No, I wouldn't.
Because he wants, those are his titties.
Right.
Right. So he doesn't want, you know, side control titties for somebody else.
No.
Right. So this is really for you that I'm not doing it. So you're welcome.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Guys, thank you so much for listening, for tuning in to us, to me blabber on and on and on.
Yep.
I know there's comments in chat where they're like, can Blitz get a word in edgewise? And I go, no.
No. Well, I'm going to go get my face tattooed before 199, so.
Perfect. That's super hot.
I know you like that.
Bubble 199 tonight from 8 to 10 p.m. We should have a pretty full house. I believe the Nashes will be here. Big Red, not a fan. Is not a fan? Going to come?
I believe so. Cooking Meat Parts.
Meat Parts, OFF, Creatine Travis. I believe Tease will be here. My beautiful roommate Reagan will be in attendance. The merch crick will probably make an appearance, and her titties will also probably make an appearance. So, stay tuned for all of that tonight on Twitch at the Bubba Army channel. So make sure, yes, 8 o'clock, 8 to 10. It would be not standard time, but EDT?
EDT.
EDT. Erectile dysfunctional time. Correct. All right. We'll see you guys tonight. Thanks for listening.
Bye.